Now, the most live local talk with Paul Vandenberg.
All right, we are back here just about 11 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mike Horn's on the line with us. Mike is with the law firm Archer & Greiner, which is down. Now, Tony gets mad at me when I say Manhattan. Mike, tell me, where you're in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, we're in the tip of New Jersey, right by where the George Washington Bridge is, so right by Manhattan.
Okay, you're right outside of Manhattan. Well, Tony gets mad at me when I say you're in Manhattan. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, someone from New Jersey doesn't want to seem like they're from New York. You know, there's a little rivalry.
I know. Tell me a little bit about Archer & Greiner. How's business? You guys been busy for the last 36 months?
Everybody wants to sue everybody, you know?
Is that what it is?
Don't want to get along.
Right, right. And you pick up, now, does Archer & Greiner pick up a lot of business from the upstate area, like in Albany? Do people reach out?
Well, you know, we do, and my heart's upstate because I went to Syracuse Law School.
Oh, you did?
Absolutely. I love it up there.
Gosh. And where is home for you?
Skinny Atlas.
Oh, Skinny Atlas. Okay. Now, are you from Jersey or upstate New York?
No, I'm from New Jersey.
Okay.
Originally.
But Syracuse is a pretty good place to go to law school.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, Syracuse is a pretty good spot. Well, listen,
The summers upstate, that's for sure.
Well, I'm thrilled to steal a little time from you. And there's a couple of things I want to ask you about, starting with Sarah Palin and this story, which I'm not getting any feedback on this morning because I'm not quite sure that people understand what's going on here, though I've explained it a couple of times. Sarah Palin was suing the New York Times, which I had brought up a few times during the trial. I have to tell you, Mike, I'm surprised it hasn't been a bigger story. But anyway, it's going to become a bigger story now because they finished the trial. They had summations. The jury went off to deliberate. And when they went off to deliberate, the judge announced he was going to throw the case out. We have never heard of anything like this. Have you?
You know, it's very unusual. Let me tell you something. Sarah Palin has done a great job on this case. I mean, look, the judge, she's losing the battle with respect to this judge, but she's winning the war here with this case. I mean, you know, it's a libel case against the New York Times, as you said. You know, they claimed a false statement that she her rhetoric was involved in the shooting of Gabby Giffords. It's a terrible statement to make against somebody. And quite frankly, she went to trial on it. They tried to get her out. They tried to dismiss this case. But she went to trial, and she exposed the New York Times and really the general media for what they are, which is, their sloppy, quick editorial process where, you know, there are these crazy deadlines, and they just are not focusing on what they used to focus on, you know, years and years ago, which was making sure that everything is 100% accurate when they publish these things. So the judge did dismiss it. Even the jury's deliberating, and the judge dismissed the case. Said he was going to dismiss the case. And what he's trying to do here, in my opinion, is the judge is saying, look, this is going to an appellate court. This is going to the circuit and possibly the Supreme Court. And this may change the way that news is written. This may, because they may change the standard for public officials in terms of libel. There's been discussions with Supreme Court justices that they're thinking, you know what, it's too hard to sue these agencies, these companies. We might want to make it a little easier. And Donald Trump has said that. President Trump has said, look, it's just too hard. These people, you know, publish these things that are untrue, and the law is against suing them. And quite frankly, this judge is going to issue an opinion that he wants the circuit to take a look at in order to, try and prevent it from being overturned. But, you know, there's a big wave of justices who really do want to reform this, and that will completely change the way news is reported.
Well, would that jive with the New York Times attorneys high-fiving each other in court yesterday?
No, it won't, but they have to.
They were.
What are they going to do? They're going to say they screwed up? They're not going to say
right,
that.
Right, right. Okay. So you think there's a bigger issue. You think the judge has done, do you think the judge did the right thing here?
You know, I think that the judge believed that he was doing the right thing. I think he believes that the standard should be a very high standard, malice, knowing or reckless disregard for the truth. The judge believes in that. And quite frankly, that is the law currently. So he's kind of boxed in with the law. Now, the circuit and certainly the Supreme Court may alter the current law, because it hasn't always been that way, that it's so difficult to sue public officials. It's, you know, the law does change. So I think the judge is trying to, tell the court tell the future court, the appellate court, why he's doing what he's doing. But it's very unusual for a judge to do this before a jury actually decides on a case. That is completely unusual, and it's very aggressive.
Mike, if we're talking to Mike Horn of Archer & Griner down in New Jersey, if the judge was going to throw it out or even thought he was going to throw it out after the deliberations, why didn't he do it before deliberations?
Well, why didn't he do it and then dismiss the jury?
Yeah.
That's what usually happens.
Right.
So it's very rare. Yeah, you know, I think he thinks that the jury's probably going to come down on his side so that he can give the circuit, the appellate level, two different ways to look at this this case to say, hey, you want to support what the jury did, and you also want to support my logic in this case. So I think that's what he's doing. And it's kind of interesting that the New York legislature actually put its thumb on the scale here on this one, because they issued a law that requires malice in these type of cases while the case was pending. So they're relying on that as well to try and prevent the circuit and the Supreme Court from ruling against the New York Times. So people are worried about this case for sure.
Okay.
And it can have really devastating effects on not just the New York Times, but on the mainstream media.
Mike, from what I understand, the jury's not sequestered here. Okay.
Oh, is that, yeah.
I don't believe they are.
Unusual.
I don't believe they are. I'll stand corrected. But if they're not sequestered and one of them goes back today and knows about this, that's not going to be a very good look, is it?
You know, it's not good. The jury should not know.
Right.
Should not know this type of information. And they've probably been told not to go online, not to discuss this with others. But, you know, to be safe on a case like this, you know, I would have asked for the jury to be sequestered as an attorney.
I don't believe they are. I'll stand corrected. I thought they weren't. Mike, who sequesters a jury anymore?
No, it does happen in these
type
of cases, in these press-related cases where it's a high-profile case, and you really want a jury to be to have nothing biased, even unconscious bias.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't want to be a juror that's sequestered. I mean, you've seen those movies where you're stuck in a hotel room and can't do anything.
I know. It's not good. Mike, also, what if they come back and they find the New York Times guilty here?
If they find the New York Times responsible here, the judge is still going to dismiss the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's so dangerous for the judge to have said that, because he'll be overruling the jury and
he
can do that.
Right.
But that would support, it would help them reverse the case at the circuit level and say that the judge should have just done what the jury said.
Right. I got you. Is it fair of me to say I'm surprised at this, Mike?
You know, it's a high profile case, and it's of significant importance to everybody involved and to the country. So, you know, it is surprising that the judge did what he did. But I think that the real decision on this case is going to happen at the circuit level or at the Supreme Court level.
Okay.
And eventually, whether it's this case or another case, the Supreme Court is going to address the standard with respect to libel and defamation and what's going on with the media right now. They're eventually going to do it, and there's likely going to be some changes, at least, to the way that the law is currently.
It was kind of, for those of us following this, I mean, I was actually surprised and thought, you, as you pointed out early on, her lawyers had done a good job. I mean, when she was on the stand or when the New York Times was presenting their case, they were apologizing. They were saying, yeah, we did this. We shouldn't have done it. I mean, I thought to myself, gee, this looks like a slam dunk for Palin. Then, of course, they put Palin up there and ridiculed her no end. And now for all that she went through on the stand, the judge announced he's going to throw it out. The whole thing just seems like kabuki court here.
It's crazy. So basically, the New York Times had no choice but to apologize. If they would have dug their heels in and would have said, "No, we did nothing wrong here," you know, the jury would have thought would have found against them. I think.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you have to fall on the sword with these things.
Right.
They apologized. They said it was a mistake, but because of the standard, they figured that they won't be liable because it's such a high standard.